Think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. You don't have any idea why we're doing most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal. In situations in which you're trying to get people to do something, there's what you say, there's what you do, what you reward, and people listen to those in reverse order. I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, aligning what we say, what we do, and what we reward.
If you're consistently asking people to do something and they're not doing it, then chances are there is some misalignment between what you're asking them to do, what they see other people doing, and the behavior that's being rewarded. And that's, you know, that's fundamentally it. The example I love to use involves a parent pushing a child at the grocery store. So here you are, child feet dangling in the cart, and the kid points to something on the shelf and says, "I want that." And the parent says, "Please stop asking for stuff." And then 3 minutes later, the kid says, "I want that." And the parent says, "Please stop asking for stuff." And then the kid says, "I want that." And the parent says, "Please stop asking for stuff." And after this goes on and on and on, eventually the kid says, "I want that." And the parent says, "Fine, here." Now, what's happened? First of all, the kid has said, "I want that." And the parent says, "Please stop asking for this." When that happens again, what the kid learns from what the parent is doing is you don't get what you want the first time, ask again.
Yeah.
And then after all that, the persistence pays off and you get the reward for it. And so now you're perpetuating the behavior. When instead the kid could say, "I want that." And the parent could say, "Please stop asking for that." And then the next time that the kid says, "I want that," the parent could start a different conversation. "Can you find all the blue things on that shelf?" or something else unrelated to the child's request, where now the parent is saying, "The way I get what I want is I ask for it once, and then after that, I don't entertain continued questions."
Yeah. I think we often believe that when it comes to sort of shaping behavior over time, the things that happen prior to behavior are what drives behavior. Like Art's example with the mom saying, "Please don't ask that." That's why the kid will stop asking the question over and over again. But actually, what influences behavior in the future is what happens as a result of behavior, right? So as Art was saying, the child keeps asking and eventually the kid gets a toy. So the "please stop askings," all those comments that came, it doesn't function at all. And I think a lot of times in the workplace and other places where there are people who are collaborating on some effort, whatever it happens to be, and we want to influence people to, you know, be creative or work hard or be more meticulous, we often say, if I just explain clearly enough why, then everybody will do it. We're really convinced about that. You know,
messaging, baby.
Messaging, baby. That's it. But even if the messaging is beautiful, but the behavior isn't witnessed anywhere else in the workplace or in the school or the family room or whatever, and the behavior is never rewarded when it does occur, well, then the likelihood of, first of all, it's happening in the first place and then persisting over time is pretty low.
Yeah, I mean, think about, even as an adult, it is hard to be the only one doing a particular thing, right? I mean, So think about walking into an office full of cubicles and everyone's throwing stuff around and got their feet up on their desk. It's hard to be the only one who then sits down and says, "Got to get to work." Right? I mean, we're profoundly influenced by the things that are going on around us.
Yeah.
And then influenced by who do we see getting rewarded? Where in the workplace, rewards are sometimes money and promotions, but often they are opportunities.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, a lot of what makes work enjoyable is the chance to do some new cool thing. And so we pay attention to which people are the ones who are getting to do the new cool thing and then trying to emulate them in some way, do the kinds of things that they do. And that's why we need to create this kind of alignment. Now, one of the things that becomes important there from the standpoint of trying to affect other people's behavior is, what behavior do we really want out of them, right? And in particular, to figure out what our group identity is, what our group values are, and then to promote those kinds of behaviors. Because the thing about achieving any significant goal in life is that it doesn't happen in a single sitting. So because it requires persistence. It requires the accumulation of the activity across multiple sessions and multiple actions, and often through multiple people. Coordinating people's activity to work together towards some common end is something that requires first a certain amount of effort to make sure this is actually something important enough that it warrants this many people putting in this much time for this effort. But then it requires trying to find this alignment between what your stated goal, the activities people are performing, and the rewards, where it leads to the desired behavior whose accumulated outcome is the goal that we wanted. And it turns out that's actually hard to do when multiple people have to be involved in carrying out a particular goal. And that's what makes leadership such a difficult thing, is that it's actually not obvious exactly which thing someone is supposed to be doing at a given moment. If you look at the history of organizations, early on, there was a tremendous focus on manufacturing. And when you're manufacturing something and your goal really is to produce exactly the same widget over and over and over again, then it is possible to break the task down into a particular series of subtasks that have to be carried out in a particular way every time. But what's happened over the 70 or 80 years since this really became a focus on how we create organizations, what has changed is that there are now many fewer organizations that are focused on building widgets repeatedly and reliably. Now, the focus is on solving much more complex kinds of problems where there's a lot of improvisation that has to happen. And in that circumstance, it becomes much more difficult to figure out how exactly am I supposed to show that somebody's doing things that are reliably associated with success, and exactly what do I reward in the moment in order to get that desired long-term behavior, because there aren't these intermediate outcomes that are a signal that I'm making progress.
Next week, Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke will talk about how to reward effectively in the workplace. David Alvarez is our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy. I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.